Hey, good morning. Welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN, wrapping up another week here, the final weekday in January, and it's the fifth Friday. Technically, we have RCPD on the fourth Friday, but New Year's Day, we're not counting New Year's Day because that was a holiday, and Director Dennis Butler joins us here on the program today. Good morning.
Hey, Brandon. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. It is Kansas Day. We're celebrating Kansas here this morning on the morning show.
Wow, I feel honored. Even though I'm not a Kansan, I feel honored to be here.
That's right. You're technically, you've lived here for a while, but you're originally from the East Coast, right?
Well, I lived a little more than half my life there. If you remember, I was a child in a military family. So that's kind of where we settled when I started high school, and I made that home.
All right. Well, you know, the neat thing about the Riley County Police Department, you know, we've been talking about random Kansas little tidbits, but the only police department of its kind here in the state of Kansas.
Yeah, it is the only county police department. They're very common. When I spent my first part of my career in Virginia, the county I lived in had a county police department, and the county... the other county adjacent to the city I worked in was a county police department, but they also had sheriff's offices too, but they were limited in function. They typically just housed inmates, served civil process, and provided security for the courts. So they didn't do law enforcement or perform law enforcement on the road like the police department did. So here in Kansas, that was not the case. But as you know, the voters back in the 70s decided to consolidate all of law enforcement in Riley County into one department, except for the KSU Police Department. It's the only law enforcement agency in the county. So we handle corrections, countywide dispatch, civil process, everything.
Yeah. And it's a big county to cover. I mean, Riley County is not a small county. It mostly goes north to south, east to west, maybe not so much, but... a large area you have to cover.
Yeah, I understand it's about 622 square miles, which is large, but it's not the largest around here. So, but it's big enough. The county I lived in Virginia was about 440 square miles, but it had over 1 million people living in it. So really not a comparison.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's we're going to talk about a few different things here today with Director Butler as we spend the next 50 or 45 minutes or so here with him. But one of the things I wanted to start off with is we've been reporting on it here in the news this morning that it happened. I don't know a lot of the details what happened with last night, but there was the first meeting of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force, a new task force formed here by the Manhattan City Commission recently. And I know, Director Butler, you were a part of that last night. It was held virtually.
Yes, I was invited to be a member of this committee by former Mayor Usha Reddy, who's now still on the commission as a commissioner, and she attended last night's meeting. And one of the issues they want to look at, there were several, but one of them is public safety. So it made sense that she invited me to participate, and I was honored to be asked and included. We knew ahead of time that last night's two-hour meeting would be mostly devoted to the members introducing themselves and talking a little bit about their own background, personal and professional. So that's what we spent most of the evening doing. But before the evening ended, they did provide us a homework assignment, and they asked us to come back to the next meeting with a prioritized list of things that we think Manhattan needs to act on in terms of improving diversity, equity, and inclusion in our community. And my understanding is this task force is supposed to meet and work for about a year before it compiles its recommendations. And the next meeting is scheduled for February 18th. For now, it's going to be another Zoom meeting from 6 to 8 p.m. So that's the quick rundown on what happened last night.
All right. And I think it'll be good conversations. I think it'll be interesting to see, what comes out of it here ultimately. No doubt, I know that diversity, equity, and inclusion is very important to the mission of RCPD in both hiring and also serving the community. Can you talk a little bit to those points?
Yeah, actually, that was one of the things they asked us to mention, is what we saw as one of our biggest challenges in either our lives or our profession. And for me, being able to attract diverse applicants is a challenge. And it's not just diverse applicants, it's applicants in general. Law enforcement for a good 15 or 20 years now has seen a steady decline in the number of qualified applicants competing for positions. I've told people when I was hired as a police officer, there were well over 200 applicants and they hired two people that day or for two vacancies. And it's very common now in many police departments to have a couple, three vacancies and maybe you'll get applications, but a lot of them are eliminated early on just based on some of the information that's disclosed. And so you don't have 200 good, highly qualified people anymore for two positions. You might get 50 or 60 if you're doing well. Some get far less than that. You know, when I was in my last job in Kansas as a chief, we went through a couple of hiring processes during the 14 years I was there. And in the end, we didn't hire anybody and we started over. So that happens to smaller departments, more rural departments who compete against better paying agencies and better equipped agencies. So I just want people to know that overall, it's more challenging to hire qualified people. And this is my opinion. I think, with what happened last year on the national narrative about policing, I think it's even more challenging to get a diverse applicant pool willing to go into this profession.
Yeah, you know, that's probably a pretty good point. And, you know, are you seeing, as far as, people coming out of college, are people as interested in law enforcement careers maybe as they were 10, 15 years ago?
I don't know if they're just as, I think they have other opportunities is what it is. Mm. I think they have more opportunities than they used to have in terms of a solid, reliable job with good benefits. A pension, as you know, the traditional pension is becoming less common in, especially in the private sector. There are still people that are attracted to that, though. They will take lower pay and maybe hazardous work conditions for that certainty, for in the future when it comes to health care and a pension. So you still have people that are attracted to that. But, it's interesting. We did have a hiring process, an onboarding process, I guess, last week where we had five new employees. So we're talking about diversity and we work hard at it and we do have success. So it's not like we have no success, but we had five new employees. One was a new jail cook, and she's a Hispanic woman. And then we had four police officers, and of those four, two were white males, one was a white female, and one was a Pacific Islander male. So, we are having some success. It takes a while to have your department reflect, if you have goals, the demographics of your community. It doesn't happen overnight, but we're making progress, and I'm happy to see that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Director Dennis Butler joining us here on In Focus. And, I think one thing that gets overlooked here when you talk about diversity and inclusion is the role of women in the workforce. And lately, there's been some great leadership going on at RCPD as far as women in your department. I know you have a female captain in the force, and Erin Friedline, is that her name?
Yeah, her name is Captain Friedline. I can't take any credit for her promotion to captain. That happened right about the time I was hired. And so we've worked together for about 2 years. And she's doing a fantastic job. I really appreciate the work that she's doing. And she's a hard worker. And I want to tell you something that I told her just the other day. I'm very high on her and her future. And I told her, I said, you know, I want you to know how I feel about your work. And I described it. And I also want to say this, and it's not because you're a woman. I said, you're doing a good job as a captain. And in some ways, being a woman might be helping you be a better captain. Now, that's my opinion. Not everybody may agree with that. But she's also, we're having another retirement. I don't want to get into that right now because it hasn't occurred yet. But she's going to be assuming command of the detective division from the support division where she is now. And that's going to happen on February 7th.
Hmm. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. But, you know, just it's neat to see those kind of promotions happen, and promotions happen all the time, I know, in the police department. But we celebrate those because, you know, I have two daughters, and I want them to have good role models to look up to. So it's always kind of neat when mm-hmm. that kind of reflects them in our community.
Yeah, it is important. You know, you were talking a minute ago about hiring and people wanting to go into the profession. I'd like to tell you a really quick story. I know you're getting close to a break. We had an intern from Kansas State University last year who came here to work with our victim advocate coordinator. And it was a part-time internship. And when she was leaving at the end of the school year, when she had graduated, I had an exit interview with her and asked her what her plans were. And she said, well, I'm going to apply here to be a police officer, which I hadn't heard. Usually I hear things like that. And I expressed my surprise and I said, oh, I didn't know that. And she said, well, that wasn't my plan. And she said, but, you know, working with the employees here, the detectives, the victim advocate, the patrol officers, she said it really changed my perception about policing and police officers in general, about their commitment and their dedication and their passion. She goes, I was really impressed and I want to be part of this. And she applied and she was one of the officers that I just mentioned that we onboarded last week.
Very cool. Well, that's a nice success story there.
Yeah. And what's cool about that, again, is, you know, people have perceptions, you know, there's myths and stereotypes they form from other sources. But when they get a chance to spend time with our officers, like she did, it changes. And that's part of what my job is to do, is to convince people it's not what you think it might be. There's really more to this to be a satisfying profession. And a lot of people, if they had a chance to spend time with us, would find that out. So it's my job to figure out how do I convey all this without them working as an intern.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we'll go ahead and step aside, take a break here, our first break on In Focus. Back with Director Butler in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.